6, 27 to 38. Let's read it and then we'll pray. Chapter 6, verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what think have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what think have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye have hope to receive, what think have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. Men shall give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you met withal, it shall be measured to you again. Let's pray. Our Father, we do pray, Lord, that you would open your word to us. Open our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we could have an understanding of it and receive it and bow in obedience to its teachings. So we pray for thy guidance. We pray for thy mercy. Just enable us to be faithful and to magnify your name. For it's in the name of Christ we do pray. Amen. Amen. We read this passage here on the surface. It's probably one of the most simple and most easy to understand passages that you're going to read. But when you start looking at the depth of it, we're not going to fathom the depth that I've seen in these passages. I don't have the ability to reach for those things that I got a glimpse of. But now, one of the great subjects of the Bible is charity, if not one of the greatest. It sits among the top. Christian love and charity, which is the grand characters of the Scripture, truly pictures a sinner when saved by grace to be walking in the bond of love, magnifying the perfect love of Christ, which gave his all for his people. Think about that. If you can ever grasp that, you will have a much greater understanding of this passage. Now, we know what it says. We know what it means. But the depth of it, I haven't reached it. Verse 27 tells us, but I say unto you which hear. Now verses 20 and 21 speaks of the poor in spirit. That's the ones that's going to hear. And those hungering and thirsting after righteousness, that's the ones that's going to hear. If a person is not actually hungering and thirsting after the righteousness of Jesus Christ, will never fathom what these scriptures here are saying. But Christ says, I say unto you which hear. Let's go back up there and read verse 26. It says, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. If the world and the Christians are alike, are eulogizing you to the great extent that when you're around the world, they think you're the greatest. And when you're around the Christians, they think you're the greatest. Now, think about this. Out in the world, what is more common in the world than the love of everyone's praise? Think about that. In verse 27, Christ says, I say unto you which hear. John 8:47 tells us, he that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not. He's talking to the Pharisees. He says, you don't hear what God's word is saying, because you are not of God. That's what Christ told the Pharisees in John chapter 8. Luke 16, verses 19. Let's just flip over and read that. Luke 16:19-31 gives us a good illustration. It says, there was a rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. No difference. They were both died and buried. Where did the beggar go? Into Abraham's bosom. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, rich man, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. This giving us a picture of the torments of hell itself. He says, for I am tortured. I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham says, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Think what a miraculous event that would be. But there was one did come to us from the dead, wasn't he? Jesus Christ. He died and rose on the third day. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead. And one did rise from the dead. And they still don't hear him. They reject the scriptures. They reject Christ. But throughout the scriptures, we find when he would offer them a loaf of bread, they would follow him through anything to get that free morsel of bread and a bite of fish. Let's turn one other page. Turn to John chapter 5. Look at verse 25. Christ says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So Christ says over here in the Gospel of Luke, but I say unto you which hear. So the question is, when Christ is speaking, do you hear him? And that's what this passage today is teaching us. If you got ears to hear, love your enemies. If you've got an enemy today, how many of us sitting here today? And I don't see a person here today that I'm not thoroughly convinced is fully Christians. But how many sitting here today is mature enough that you would go out of your way to help someone that you knew bitterly hated you? Think about that. Can you see the depths of what he said here? Love your enemies. Not just somebody you don't get along with, somebody you got a personality conflict with, but an enemy is somebody that would intend to do you harm given the occasion for to. Not somebody just don't want to be around you or put up with you. Do you really love those people? Do good to them that hate you. You got ears to hear, he says, listen to what Christ is saying. If you got spiritual ears, hear this. Search your heart to see if there's somebody you just wouldn't do nothing for because the way they've treated you in the past, you just completely took them off of your list. But Christ says, love your enemies. This love don't mean just to tolerate them. You see a need and you can administer to them, do it. Now the scribes was teaching, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But let's get what the Scripture really teaches about this passage. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19, and we're going to read a little short passage here. This right here will clarify a lot of what Christ is saying. Verse 13 says, "Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wage of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning." Otherwise, if you owe somebody something, don't say, "I'll pay you next week." He says, don't even hold it overnight. Give it to him. That's a great principle there. And I've seen it abused so many times in the business world. It's pathetic. Verse 14 says, "Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God." He says, "I am the Lord. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment." How do you deal with people? Very careful. Most people can take advantage of others in ways it's not even thought about. "You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment." How do you deal with people? You make sure that you give them a full measure. The Scriptures, Christ says in New Testament, shaken down and running over. Not just give them the least amount you can give them and get by with it. "Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty." Christ teaches that in many ways in the New Testament. Talks about going into the house of the wedding and taking the seat of honor. "But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor." "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor." He says, "I am the Lord." "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." He says, "I am the Lord." To love your neighbor as yourself. Those things that you would desire for yourself in any situation, give it to the neighbor. See to it that he... Otherwise, if you want the biggest piece of the pie, whatever the situation is, lie. And I'm not really talking about an apple pie here. I'm talking about situation. If you want the biggest piece of the pie, bite your lip and give it to your neighbor. For a situation going on, don't take advantage of him. Give him the abundance. In the business world, everybody wants the best deal they can get in everything. That's human nature. But this is teaching us to not try to hoard the big and get by with him taking the small portion. So here in Leviticus, we see the law placed all the emphasis on love over vengeance. You can summarize the entire law there. We just read that. Now, the Pharisees and the scribes, they soft-pedaled the meaning of love. We see that in our text. They underscored the children of your people as though the meaning was the others you are allowed to hate. You know, they didn't want, the scribes and Pharisees, they didn't want the Gentiles coming into their church. They didn't want to share the gospel with them. Human nature, being what it is, it's a wall of separation that was built between the Jews and the Gentiles. They looked down upon the Gentiles. They were teaching that the Jews was to be loved and the Gentiles was to be hated. But now they also built another wall between the good Israelites and the bad Israelites. What am I talking about here? The self-righteous scribes and the Pharisees. The bad Israelites. The poor publican that was sitting in the temple, smote his breast. He felt such a guilt over his sin that he could not even look up. And the Pharisees, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like this sinner here. So this wall went much further than just between the Jews and the Gentiles. It went through those that they judged as to be sinners. Let's look at John chapter 7. Verse 49. The scribes and the Pharisees here, the officers of verse 45, the chief priests and the Pharisees, as they said unto them, speaking. Verse 49 says, but this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. That's their opinion of the people that did not come into the temples and walk according to how they had perverted the truth. How many corrections did they make to the scripture, Brother John? Over 700?
You mean like your tradition?
The tradition,
there was thousands. In fact, they had, it's called the Talmud, and they not only had one for Jerusalem, but they had a larger one in Babylon because the largest population after Christ rose from the dead, or in fact actually of Jews, was in Babylon instead of Jerusalem. It's thousands of traditions. Some of them contradicted one another too.
But this context here, verse 39, this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. This is people here, some of the Pharisees that had heard Jesus speak and were enticed to believe him. Well, they, verse 4 says, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. Some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So that gives the context here, but let's read verse 43 down. So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, And they said unto them, why have you not brought him? See the purpose that he had sent him to. And they went over and they heard him and they were enticed to believe him. But chief priests and the Pharisees here now is a little bit betrothed with them. And the officers answered, never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? They won't know if any of the big people had believed on him. But this people knoweth not the law, are cursed. The people that was believing Christ, that was not walking in the laws of the Pharisees. The Pharisees said they are cursed. Now what does this tell me? This tells me that the rabbis didn't know the law themselves. Thought for today. In my mind, it sort of summarizes part of this. In the middle of this intense, narrow-minded, intolerant environment, Jesus carried on his ministry. Now, he was in the midst of all this. He came for this purpose of breaking down these barricades that these Pharisees had set up. So love, that's pure love, warmth, infinite, divine love, would be able to flow straight from the heart of the Father into the hearts of mankind through the gospel. That thought came to my mind as I was studying this passage. So his love, the love of Christ, leaped over all boundaries of race, nationality, age, sex, or whatever the situation is, and come into hearts of people everywhere. Sometimes they're few in numbers, sometimes they'll be great multitudes. But through the work of his Spirit, through the proclamation of the Word of God, that Spirit now works, and that boundary is broken down. Let's look at another parable, I believe, that sheds a great light on this passage here. Flip over to Luke chapter 10. Verse 27. And he answered and said, Christ here talking to a lawyer. And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? In verse 27. And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Christ said back to the lawyer, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Keep in mind now the context we're studying is to love thy neighbor. So verse 29 through verse 36, this parable here that Christ speaks back to him tells the great truth. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, I think I could further mean through the providence of God, there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now look at the three personalities here. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. They seen him laying there stripped of his raiment, nearly dead. They looked at him and they walked around him and went on their way for their day's business. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, now he didn't just go and drop him off. He spent the rest of the day and the night with him, nurturing him back to health, and he put him up in a room. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? See, so often when we talk about you love your neighbor, we look out a window in the house, we can see on that side, there's my 2 neighbors. I got a responsibility to them. But here was a stranger coming down the road. Had never seen this man, didn't know where he's from or who he was. But he picked him up, carried him to the inn, he doctored him, he fed him, he bought him a place where he could stay in comfort. Then he hired another stranger, the innkeeper, to take care of him. And he left some money with him. He said, if you spend more than this, I'll be back this way in a couple of days. I'll pay you whatever you put on him. So he did not put a cap on what he did. Samaritan, a man that lived in another part of the country. The Pharisees taught, love your neighbor. That's what the lawyer quoted perfectly. The Good Samaritan brings this into reality. Christ taught this lawyer what being a neighbor really meant. Not who you live by, but who you come into contact with. Do good to them. Put actions into your words. What New Testament tell us? Bless you, brother, be ye warmed and filled. Takes more than that. Verse 28 in our text. He says, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Love your enemies. This ain't just the people you don't like. Those that curse you, they hate the very ground you stand on. When you walk by them, you can hear them muttering evil things. It says, pray for them which despitefully use you. In all sincerity, if you even know anybody like that, we have the responsibility to pray that the Lord would bless them. We're to show kindness to them, and we're to intercede for them at the throne of mercy, as though they never said a hard word to us. Verse 29. And unto them that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Christ is teaching here, do not resist the evildoers. And I didn't realize I had so much in this passage, because we're going to have to finish it up. I'll have my Sunday school already studied for next Sunday, so I can still do it. So I'm going to go through this verse 29 here, and then we'll pick up on it next week, Lord willing. Jesus is teaching, do not resist evil. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand? Neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake yet not of you, not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then understand how they that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Read one other verse, and then we'll illustrate. John chapter 18. Keep in mind that what we just read there in Matthew. John 18, 22 and 23. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? And Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of evil. But if well, why spitest thou me? So in this passage here in Luke, shows that he teaches in principle, and everything is not literal. I've seen some people, you could not discuss the Bible with them because everything had to be so literally minded that it would contradict half of the other scriptures. So everything is not literal. So to turn the other cheek is saying, he is not filled with rebellion, but the spirit of love. There's a couple of passages that I read where he was smitten himself. He didn't turn the other cheek, but he come back and he spoke to him like he did here. So he is teaching not to be filled with rebellion to your enemies, but to be filled with the spirit of love. Read one last passage here and we'll be through with this verse. Turn to Romans 12. I think this would teach for us. verses 19 to 21. He says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." And verse 21 summarizes everything we've said. "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Anybody got any questions? That we just covered a couple of verses here. The depth of them, we have not even attempted to get to. Charlie, would you dismiss us?
Our gracious and kind Heavenly Father,